shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. We're back.
Hey.
Feels like we've been gone a long time ago.
Feels that way.
Poor Nick has been through the mill, right?
Yeah.
Can I say that? So he's got, we're going to be on Tuesday, and then he was in surgery,
dental.
Yeah. I didn't think he was going to make it back. I was surprised when he said it. Okay, all right. Well, he said, oh, yeah, I got to go, and we'll be back, and I'll be back in time for the radio. And
wow.
So when I got the call that he's not coming back, you know, at least not Tuesday, I fully understood. So anyway, the dog days of August, it feels like it, doesn't
feels
it, right
like
now?
August, and, yeah.
Oral surgery, tooth pulled due to bone loss and infection.
It sounds just, ew, just talking about it.
It hurts now. So we have to pray. We must pray. We have to and we must.
We must.
And so we're going to, so I want to, because we weren't on Tuesday, we'll revisit Independence Day, you know, a little bit of what's going on in the nation to one degree or another. But what we do need to do is just how do they say this? Cover the nation in the blood, in the precious blood of Jesus. So we'll begin with the Angelus and then the litany to the precious blood for the intention of our nation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel made by his passion and cross, be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven, have mercy on us. God, the Son, Redeemer of the world.
Have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit.
Have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God.
Have mercy on us.
O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of salvation, cover us and the whole world, cover our nation. The ocean of the blood of Jesus Christ, set us free. The blood of Jesus Christ, full of holiness and compassion,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, our strength and power,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the everlasting covenant,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the foundation of the Christian faith,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the armor of God,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the divine charity,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, a scourge of demons,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the help of those in bondage,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sacred wine,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the power of Christians,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the defender of the Catholic wall,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Christian's true faith,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the healing blood, save us.
Save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the anointing blood,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the boldness of the children of God,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the commander of Christian warriors,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of resurrection,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the drink of heavenly angels,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the consolation of God the Father,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the circumcision of the Gentiles,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the peace of the world,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sunshine of heaven and earth,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, a rainbow in heaven,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the hope of innocent children,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the word of God in our hearts,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, a heavenly weapon,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the divine wisdom,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the foundation of the world,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the mercy of God the Father,
save us.
O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, cleanse the sins of the world and the sins of our nation. O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, refine the world and refine our nation. O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, teach us how to console Jesus. Teach our nation how to console Jesus. Let us pray. O precious blood of our salvation, we believe, hope, and trust in you. Deliver all those who are in the hands of the infernal spirits, we beseech you. Protect the dying against the works of evil spirits and welcome them into your eternal glory. Have mercy on the whole world. Have mercy on our nation. And strengthen us to worship and console the Sacred Heart. We adore you, O most precious blood of mercy. Amen. O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, heal the wounds in the most sacred heart of Jesus. O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, heal the wounds in the most sacred heart of Jesus. O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, heal the wounds in the most sacred heart of Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I tell you, our nation needs to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, it really is. This is a very, very interesting time. That's all I can say. So, how was your Independence? We're a little bit late into the week, but how was your Independence Day?
I didn't do anything. I stayed at home and just, you know, stayed home. I didn't go out anywhere. I didn't go to see people. I just was at home.
Somebody said it was, and this, what's interesting, this came from an immigrant woman, a woman from Poland, who absolutely loves the United States, and she said it was the saddest Independence Day. She's a citizen now. She became a citizen. And she said, and not only her, actually, as I'm speaking, there's a few people that have spoken to me in this way. I spoke to a couple yesterday from the Philippines, and I believe it was, they were the ones who told me this as well, but, or somebody. I've talked to so many people, I talk to people all the time, right? But these are immigrant people who have become citizens of the United States, and they're just befuddled by all the stuff that's going on, and as they say, and this is what is being communicated or conveyed, is an absolute hate for
America,
the United States of America, by her own citizens.
See, you know, it is interesting. It's funny you should say this too, because the people I've heard that I don't want to say care, but actually know what America is are the people that have come here from other,
right.
you know, countries
right.
that know how bad it was where they were.
Right.
And they came here to do the right thing, to, you know, to start a new life. But
exactly.
not only you're here, you love where you're at.
Right.
And it's like, it's amazing how these people, you know, America, people that were here or just don't know, you lose track of what it's all about. And every year, I'm a news junkie too, so I'm watching, and I love those little news segments where they ask, you know, Americans simple questions about, you know, and nobody
yeah.
knows. And there's a part of me that wants to laugh, but then I'm just,
sad.
It's sad. It's a sad statement that that's where we've come, where we don't teach things that are important anymore.
Because there's been this infiltration of a leftist,
yes.
liberal, leftist, extreme, Marxist, socialist ideology.
And I wish I could tell you, Father, I can tell you, oh, I just got mad at what you said and it's not true. But that was me years ago, too. I don't want to believe that. That can't be the way. But we see it now
because
after
it's
all
open.
These years.
It's not in the dark. It's right out. It's
and before, back then, it was basically things that you would just, you know, say, oh, that can't be. But now it's like it's you got to if you can't look at this now and say this is exactly what it is, then something's wrong.
You've got the certain politicians. You've got certain media personalities, Hollywood personalities who are very blatant in their. Their
silence. That's what it is sometimes. The people that are not saying anything.
But those who are this because there hasn't been a major backlash.
Yeah.
Because, and why is that? Because for so long we've been, in a sense, brainwashed or conditioned
that this
to,
is normal.
That well, if you speak in defense,
mm-hmm.
or if you express your love for the nation with all its imperfections, because the nation has got its flaws, as the
yeah.
church has its flaws. You
yeah.
know, any institution, political or national institution, the church is an institution, but it's a sacred institution because it's the mystical body of Christ. But if we just look at the institution, mm-hmm. the characters. In the story that run that govern the institution,
right.
if we just look at that, we could we would most definitely be discouraged, I think. But it's the church is a sacred institution. It's imbued with the very spirit of God. I've mentioned this before about this this cardinal many years ago who spoke. He had lifted up the we were priest in a conference or a congress or whatever, and this cardinal from Europe was here, and I forget his name, but he was the keynote speaker,
mm-hmm.
and he held up the directory of the Archdiocese of Chicago. He says, okay, this is the church, because now in the directory you've got the names of the name of the cardinal, the archbishops, the names of the deans, the names of the pastors, the names of all the parishes, the names of all the hospitals, the Catholic hospitals, the names of all the schools, all the religious communities that work in the Archdiocese of Chicago. So it's all named right there in the directory. So he raised up the directory and said, this is the church. And then he raised up the dogmatic constitution on the church from the Second Vatican Council entitled Lumen Gentium, A Light to the People, which is a beautiful document that is imbued with, you know, extrapolating from sacred scripture, the sacred tradition of the church, the early church fathers. It's a very beautiful document. The problem is that after the Second Vatican Council, it's what people did with the documents of the Second Vatican Council. It was a pastoral council. It wasn't a dogmatic council. It was a pastoral council. But he held up the dogmatic constitution or the constitution on the church, Lumen Gentium. And he said, as he held up the directory, he said, this is the church, but this without this is like a body without a soul.
Yeah.
And so the institution is made up of, people with souls, but even those people with souls, we're sinful people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even the just man sins seven times a day, the Holy Church, and in fact, in the in Lumen Gentium, in the constitution on the church, light to the nations, because the church is the sacrament that mediates the grace. It's she is a light, should be a light to the nation. But even in the constitution, as is been known through history, the church's perfection is hidden. I say hidden, but made manifested to the extent that we're disposed for the purgative and the transformative and the sanctifying power of God's Spirit. We have to be receptive. Each and every one of us have that responsibility. And to the extent that we do that, then the church, her identity and her mission is authenticated. You know, we but even so flawed, because we're this side of death. So the holiness of the church, her perfection, her holiness, is hidden in the very life of the Trinity, the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the communion of saints, principally speaking, the Mother of God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who bear that light in its fullness, but it's not their light, it's God's light. Now, we have the mission, the commission, as members of the mystical body, because the church is in history, it has to be institutionalized. Everything is institutionalized in this world. When I always find it interesting when people say, "I'm a Christian, but we're not. But I'm not a denominational Christian." Every Christian is denominational. Mm-hmm. Actually, the Catholic Church, built on the church with a big C. One holy Catholic apostolic, built on the pillar of the three. Certainly, the key, the capstone is the Trinitarian God, the mm-hmm. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, built on the rock of Peter and on the pillar of the 12 apostles. So that church is church with a big C, and it is the church. So it isn't a denomination, it is the church. Everything that comes from the church is a denomination of the church, right? Mm-hmm. Because it takes its life from this sacred living tradition. So that even the Bible is the working of the Holy Spirit, but it comes out of the life of the church, acting under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So before the books of the Bible were canonized, codified, which was several centuries after the messianic moment in time, when the time of God's visitation, the incarnation, and the paschal mystery, His suffering, death, and resurrection, which is our redemption. But even from that time until the Scripture was codified, the church is already under governance. And the church is already exercising her sacred mission to sanctify. The church is already this prophetic voice in the world. So her life is, it's interesting. You know, people often, they don't understand this, but, we don't think about this, right. But when Jesus said, the church is celebrating already the sacred mysteries, already celebrating the Holy Mass, after Pentecost, you know, now it's a developing the ritual would develop, but the essentials are there, the Eucharist, intercession, but what about the reading of Scripture? What did they read? They didn't have the Gospels, they didn't have the Epistles, so what was the church reading when she gathered in the sacred worship of God in the Holy Mass? Well, she was reading from the Hebrew Scriptures. It was the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, that was being read. Now, as even before the Gospels were written, St. Paul, St. Peter, St. John, St. James were already writing letters, and they were sending the letters to the various ecclesial, the church, the mm-hmm. different communities where the Christians were gathering, so that they would then they were brought in and they were included in the Mass, Mass means missio, mission, because we're the people with a mission, baptized into the mystical body of Christ with a mission to give witness to Jesus. And so, and then eventually, as the, so the letters were written first, you know, they were being written, but the, even Jesus on the day of the resurrection, when he sees the two disciples, and the gospel says he, this is on the road to Emmaus, they're going back, leaving Jerusalem, and they see Jesus, and he's risen from the dead, it's the evening of the resurrection, he doesn't, he's not recognized, but he says, you know, why are you, why are the eyes downcast, why are you sad, and they said, well, we thought he was the one, you know, they said, how is it that you don't know what has happened, we thought he was the one, and this Jesus of Nazareth, we thought he was the Messiah, but he's been crucified, and he's died, he's been buried, although the women, there's the tale that is being told by the women that the tomb is empty. But, you know, it's, again, what can you believe? This is coming from the women, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just tongue-in-cheek, I say that, but that's basically what they were saying, is that this is the tale, what the women are saying. So Jesus says, well, you know, purposely he makes it that he's risen from the dead, he's not recognized. And he says, well, how do you, how quick you forget, wasn't it supposed to happen this way? I mean, he says, what's written in the scriptures? And then he extrapolates from the Hebrew scripture, because that's all he had. He was the gospel. It hadn't been written yet. He was the good news right there, and the risen Christ. But so he opens up for them the scripture. People often, when they read that, they think of, you know, we've got the Gospels and that. No, they didn't exist. They didn't exist. So he's making reference to the Old Testament. He, in fact, he says, what did Moses say? What did Elijah say? What did, Baruch or Isaiah, Zephaniah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel? What was written? What was told? Wasn't it supposed to happen this way? And they come to the juncture in the road, and the two disciples, they said, sir, come and stay with us. It's getting late. And he went into their home, and it was then that he took the bread, he sat down, and he did exactly that evening what he did on 3 days before, on Holy Thursday, on the eve of his death. He took the bread, he blessed it, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it. And then the gospel says he vanished from their sight. He left the bread. Because the bread is his body, his blood. He says, I go that I remain with you. And so all the story is unfolding. And they looked at each other then, and they said, oh, yes, did not our hearts burn as he spoke to us on the way? And they went immediately back to Jerusalem to tell the apostles, who were locked away in the upper room where Jesus had celebrated the Last Supper 3 days before. And that was where that was kind of their hangout. That's where they would gather, and they behind locked doors, and they went and they said how, you know, he's risen, and how they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. He left the bread, and they said, well, he had appeared to them as well. The point being, and we'll take a break here, is that the church is a mystical body imbued with the life of Christ, a risen Christ, has a spirit of God, and that's what animates and what purifies and transforms and sanctifies her members this side of death. The church's perfection is in heaven. But the church is not a denomination of herself. Those who separate from the mother church are then denominations of Christians. So the Protestants wouldn't have the Bible if not for the church. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the Bible first and then the church, but it was the church. And then from the church, acting under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we have the Gospels. And so it was later, as the Gospels were only written, much later, as the eyewitnesses began to die. They were being martyred. And as they were, you know, they were the eyewitnesses. So these, you know, as the eyewitnesses, not just the apostles, but the disciples, the those who experienced, who saw, who witnessed Jesus in the flesh, God in the flesh, before, during, and after the Paschal mystery, they as they were dying, as they were being martyred or died of a natural death, then it was necessary to record, right? In order to have written, the story had to be written. And so then you've got the four gospels. Yeah, there were more than the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four gospels. But there were also other gospels as well that were not included when the church finally codified the New Testament and together uniting that to the Hebrew Scriptures. You can't have one without the other, right? We begin with Christ and we read backwards into the Hebrew Scriptures. Jesus did on the day of the resurrection. But these other religions, so there's no such thing as a non-denominational.
Right.
As soon as you form something apart from it, what happens in Protestantism. That's why there's 30,000+ different denominations.
Exactly.
But they would have no life apart from the Mother Church. You know, so it's really quite interesting. I don't know how we got into that, because the point is that the church in history, so the Holy Church in her perfection is in heaven. We are in the battle. We're the militant church in the battle. And of course, the suffering church would be those who are undergoing purgation, mm-hmm, before they're received into heaven, which is by the great manifestation of God's mercy. They die in God's grace, but having not been perfected, because evil, sin, inordinate attachments to this world cannot be received into heaven. Otherwise, heaven would be no different from the earth, from the world. So, but the church is made up of sinful people.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say so often, our personal reference is Jesus Christ. So that we've got dark periods of our history. Certainly, we're going to a dark period now. And there's a certain, like Jesus said, there's always going to be scandal. You're never going to avoid the scandal. But woe to those who cause a scandal. Better than a millstone be put around their neck to be thrown in the sea and drowned. But you're always going to have that. But the church, if she deviates from her true identity and mission, she has a way of pulling herself back. And it's really the Spirit working. God raises up the saints in order to purify, to transform, and sanctify. But as we say this of the church, we have to say this of the nation as well, because this is a nation that was built on Judeo-Christian principles. And so as we look back into our history, first of all, you know, it's the fact that this was a solely unique enterprise, the founding of this nation, there were evil things that were done by people, but the nation, as with the church, has a way to correct itself so long as it remains true to its religious identity. That religion is, as John Adams said, and I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but in reference to the Constitution, that this Constitution is made for a religious and a moral people. Now, the nation didn't is written into the Constitution, the Declaration is the freedom of religion. That not that one religion would dominate, although in reality, Protestantism really I think still is the dominating religion of the nation, or it was. It's just that now we've so radically secularized that unless we return to the roots, mm-hmm, unless we return to the foundation, the inception of this country, we're not going to have a way to correct ourselves, and we're going to run the end of, which is really what's happening now is you hear this said cancellation culture.
Yeah.
To cancel out the history, cancel it out. We want some, and the politicians, certain politicians are very vocal about this. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to completely we want to create something completely different, and focusing on something such as slavery, which is in itself was an evil, but the country did something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
there was a
war was fought.
That part of the equation people don't seem to understand. Why go back and, you know, okay, it's happened. Let's move forward. Let's try to move forward without really. And I do believe you don't ever forget your past. You don't forget history, but move forward.
Yeah, we got to take a break, mm-hmm. but we'll come back to that. But this is the thing, and I think we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week. But where is reconciliation? See, this is so central to our Judeo-Christian identity,
mm-hmm.
is reconciliation and reparation. Yeah, we have to repair damage that's been done.
Right.
But there's many ways that reparation has happened, and it has to continue to happen.
It has to be reparation the way I want it.
The assumption is that collectively speaking, we share a common faith, and when I say mm-hmm. a common faith, we're let's just say because those who don't espouse Christianity, but. If we're true to the law that is written into our hearts, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. we just stay with that. And that was written into those commandments were encoded in the courthouses. They were taught in the school. As a child, I went to public school. Right. We were taught the Ten Commandments.
Until certain people didn't want to see them, so we should just take them all and destroy them. Destroy the statues, take out the things that have meaning in our country. Just destroy it all.
Cancel it all out. When we come back, in fact, this is I thought this was kind of interesting. I was looking during, actually on Independence Day, I was reading from the various popes what they said of the United States and some interesting commentary here. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change. Name is 750 WNDZ.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. During this COVID-19 virus pandemic, offering you prayer and inspiration through your faith.
The winds of change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's some welcome news. Father Anthony is reopening St. Stanislaus Kostka for the worship of Almighty God. St. Stan's will be limited to 150 people at any given time, and you must register to attend Mass. Because there's a lot of information that you'll need to have, we recommend that you visit ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. You can also register to attend Mass at St. Stan's by calling the parish office at 773-278-2470. That's 773-278-2470. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
I think it's time to get some
lunch. Lunch. It's time for lunch. Lunch.
Yes, there is a free lunch. you can find chicken tenders, mac and cheese, pizza, pancakes, and more for children under 18 years of age in each household, available for grab-and-go curbside pickup Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. at Holy Trinity High School, 1443 West Division. The children don't have to be Holy Trinity students. Holy Trinity High School has partnered with Country House on the ISBE Summer Food Service Program. Enjoy Country House's signature made-from-scratch cooking and fun snack packs to brighten your summer. To find out more about the free lunch at Holy Trinity High School, call 708-389-4618. That's 708-389-4618. Come and enjoy meals every day.
Let's eat!
Anybody got an extra spork? I lost mine.
Welcome back, everybody.
That's cool. Armin is just
He's
amazing.
Captain Man of a Million. I used to say a thousand voices. Now right. It's a million voices.
It's got to be a million voices.
So, Independence Day, I was reading when Pope Francis, Pope Benedict, Pope John Paul II were here in the United States. I thought it was very interesting. This is, first of all, we'll start with Pope Francis and then go back. But Pope Francis, this was in 2015 when he was here in September. He addressed a joint session of Congress, and he speaks about the political history of the United States, where democracy is deeply rooted in the mind of the American people, and that all political activity must serve and promote the good of the human person and be based on respect for his or her dignity. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then he goes on to say, and he says, he spoke about how essential the family has been to the building of this country. And now we all know that the family is under attack.
Yeah.
And these activist groups, it's written into their code.
Exactly.
You know, the destruction of the nuclear family. But Pope Francis said that how worthy it remains of our support and encouragement. He says, I cannot hide my concern for the family, which is threatened, perhaps as never before, from within and without. Fundamental relationships are being called into question, as is the very basis of marriage and the family. I can only reiterate the importance and, above all, the richness and beauty of family life. This is from Pope Francis, you know. And then, of course, he spoke about... He calls attention to those family members who are the most vulnerable, the young. For many of them, a future filled with countless possibility beckons, yet so many others... He says, for many of them, a future filled with countless possibility beckons, yet so many others seem disoriented and aimless, trapped in a hopeless maze of violence, abuse, and despair. Their problems are our problems. We cannot avoid them. We need to face them together, to talk about them, and seek effective solutions rather than getting bogged down in discussions. And, you know, that's Pope Francis, you know, and the family and the young. Again, I have to say, you know, this is going back to an earlier point we made, that there has been a major infiltration into academia, into the institutions of education that are no longer. See, so they got... The nation took the commandments out, took the prayer out of the school, but the infiltration of different ideologies, redefining the family, just the celebration of every, really no respect for the way life is scientifically and biologically ordered for the common good, for a people, I'm talking about the liberal leftist people who, you know, used to be so concerned about science, but completely disregard how, from a scientific and a biological point of view, life is ordered by God. Right. But if you reject God, and if it's very subjective now.
That's the thing. You reject God, then you can pretty much make it in our image, which is not always a good thing.
Well, it's not at all a good thing, because it's anything that's done in our image, unless we're living as the petitions of the Our Father. Mm-hmm. Jesus gave us that prayer, that we live first to keep holy the name of God, to revere God. Holy fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. To be consciously in the kingdom of God, thy kingdom come, that we have over and above the nation of the United States, we are members of God's kingdom by virtue of our baptism. And if that's the dominant, you know, that this is the genius of this enterprise, which is really quite young when you consider the age of many nations. Mm-hmm. We're only talking a little over 200 years, right? Maybe 250 years or something, more or less. 1776, whatever you calculate that. But that's, are we about 250 years?
That's probably more. Wait,
18, 19.
Yeah, that's
it's almost, or we would be coming close to 250, maybe, right? Mm-hmm. Or, would next year be the 250th? No, we got 5 years. This is 2020.
I can't even think.
That's okay. Don't worry about
it. My math is fuzzy.
In about maybe 5 or 6 years, we would mm-hmm. be celebrating 250 years, which is nothing. It's a very short life.
Yeah.
It's a very, 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 considering.
If we get to.
Well, we're really on the precipice right now, you know, because this is a defining time for our nation. Pope Benedict, when he came in, but again, the family, Pope Francis, the emphasis on the family, because family is a bedrock of a civilization, and you know, God came to us in a family. God created a man and woman, and he says, go, be fertile, multiply, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the family is absolutely essential to the well-being of society. But what's infiltrated the schools is an absolute distortion or perversion of the family, marriage and family. Pope Benedict in 2008 was here, and he said, among other things, as he spoke on the South Lawn of the White House, April 16th, 2008, he said that from the dawn of the Republic, America's quest for freedom has been guided by the conviction that the principles governing political and social life are intimately linked to a moral order based on the dominion of God, the Creator. The framers of this nation's founding documents, the framers of this nation's founding documents drew upon this conviction when they proclaimed the self-evident truth that all men are created equal, endowed with inalienable rights, grounded in the laws of nature and of nature's God. Again, this is at the dawn of the Republic. So even that, you know, that to understand that we are a republic, you know, which means that it's not majority rule. Mm-hmm. It's not majority rule. It's the majority can be really off the, it seems like more and more is happening. No, but it's there are governing principles to political and social life intimately linked to a moral order based on the dominion of God, the Creator. And then he goes on to say that in the course of American history demonstrates the difficulties, the struggles, and the great intellectual and moral resolve which were demanded to shape a society which faithfully embodied these noble principles. So this is what, as we look back, this is what we have to, we've been in the struggle. Mm-hmm. We've had to, you know, we've been through difficulties, struggles, but we had the great intellectual and moral resolve to shape a society which would embody the principles upon which this nation was founded and built. Is it because we had God as our person of reference, our point of reference? And so he says that in that process, which forged the soul of the nation, religious beliefs were a constant inspiration and driving force. As, for example, in the struggle against slavery and in the civil rights movement. In our time, too, particularly in moments of crisis, Americans continue to find their strength in a commitment to this patrimony of shared ideals and aspirations. The problem is we no longer share the faith, you know. God has been taken out of the equation. So, and then he says, you know, and this is something, too, that is where we've just so terribly deviated from this. The Holy Father, Pope Benedict, said, freedom is not only a gift, but also a summons to personal responsibility. Americans know this from experience. Now, listen to this. He says, almost every town in this country has its monuments honoring those who sacrificed their lives in defense of freedom, both at home and abroad. The preservation of freedom calls for the cultivation of virtue, self-discipline, sacrifice for the common good, and a sense of responsibility towards the less fortunate. You know, those very monuments are being, this is part of the, you know, the cancellation culture. Mm-hmm. They want to, all the statues, the monuments, these are not perfect men, you know, mm-hmm. but even the perfect man, Jesus Christ, they're calling for the
destruction
of the
cross, the image statue.
Right.
Same thing.
So it just, you know, it's...
And then it's like, again, when you think too, and I think about this a lot. I mean, if you allow one, you open a door for everything. So I don't know if people understand what they're really asking or are duped into thinking that this is the way to do things. And it's not. This is mob mentality. This should not be allowed. And it's amazing how, as I sit and I look at the news every day and I'm seeing how nobody is doing anything about this.
There are people doing things, but they're shut. They're shouted out. They're shouted down. They're not given. It depends on where you go, but for the most part, in the mainstream media, certainly the Hollywood, everything, the sports arena.
Yeah,
everything has been infiltrated.
You kind of see now where the gods with the little g's are.
Right.
And I'll tell you honestly,
excellent point.
I have no respect for, I may be in trouble for saying it, and I said it, I will not do anything with sports anymore.
Yeah, you just said something that really is so true. The gods with the little g's.
I mean, I like watching basketball and football, you know, but when people start being voices of things that, in all due respect, it's an opinion.
Well,
we all have opinions.
We've always appreciated people with talent, athletic ability in the arts. Absolutely. I mean, it's all part of it. It's just a necessary part of our society.
Right. But when you begin to think
about it. When we make these our gods.
Yes. The same could be said with the actors and actresses who, again, I'll state the same thing. If you're going to get up there and tell me what I should think, what I should believe, then I don't have that. I don't want to have anything to do with you either. Yeah. I won't go to see your movies. I won't go to participate in your music. I won't do it anymore. I'm done. If you're gonna tell me something that's, you know, outlandish, I mean,
so you've got that alongside the infiltration of academia,
right,
where you've got the deconstructing of history, the history of the nation, the history of the church, even within the church. This is not uncommon. But a deconstructing, a revisionist type of a history, you know, deconstructing the history and in the process trying to create or advocate something radically different from what in fact that is a major deviation from our identity. Tony, we got to take a break. Do that right now. Okay, so don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony, and you listen to the listener supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's some welcome news. Father Anthony is reopening St. Stanislaus Kostka for the worship of Almighty God. St. Stan's will be limited to 150 people at any given time, and you must register to attend Mass. Because there's a lot of information that you'll need to have, we recommend that you visit ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. You can also register to attend Mass at St. Stan's by calling the parish office at 773-278-2470. That's 773-278-2470. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Because of the unprecedented COVID-19 virus pandemic, the Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's needs your immediate help. The Soup Kitchen is asking for your donations of water, juice boxes, individual food servings, hand sanitizers, and Lysol. The Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's is operating regular hours during this pandemic. The Soup Kitchen is operated by the Daughters of St. Mary Providence from the basement of St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, which serves over 21,000 meals per year. To offer your help, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That number again is 773-870-2435. Thank you. Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we kind of wrap up the hour. But we're just talking a little bit about the nation and what it's going through. And we have to pray. We're people of faith, and we pray. We you know, Lord, wash this nation. Father, wash this nation in the very precious blood of your Son, the Lamb of God. We need a metanoia, a conversion. The nation is so divided, and there's this hostility at the root of it all. It's a hostility toward God, abhorring the commandments of God, and that should be a no-brainer, really. Mm-hmm. You know, it's we're going to make ourselves God. We don't need God. Maybe Friday we'll come back to this, because I want to go back to the quote of Pope John Paul II, right, and taking from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. But as we started the show by speaking about the immigrants who have become citizens, or even mm-hmm. those who are not citizens, but who speak about, who are shocked by what's happening, what they see, yeah. the this attempt to dismantle, to deconstruct the United States. The burning of the American flag, the destroying of monuments, political and religious mm-hmm. monuments. And the fact that the people doing this is, I think you alluded to this fact that many people are completely ignorant. They just don't know what they're doing.
I want to say that they are, because anybody, and I've heard, you know, people from these countries that are kind of Marxist, and the way that they see the same kind of thing happening, and they're in fear. They're looking at this is exactly what happened to us.
Well, that's exactly the point this woman made to me on just this past week. Mm-hmm. She comes from a communist country, and she said, she even said, this is even worse than what we were going through. What we see happening is worse than mm-hmm. what we were going through. But this should cause grave concern.
It should.
And there's a point where we cannot be silent, we cannot be afraid, but we've got to be able to courageously speak in defense of our nation, our values, our principles, our God, and look at the good. You know, I always say about the church, you know, when people, and again, the same thing happening in the nation is happening in the church. When people would point out all the skeletons out of the closets,
right.
You know, look, going
and
back through history
skeletons.
And just there, you know, the church did this, the church did that,
right.
All this stuff. I'll go back to what Jesus says. You're going to have scandal. You're never going to avoid it. But woe to those who cause it. Better that a millstone be put around the neck than be thrown in the sea and drowned. And by the way, there's another gospel. I'm working on multiple mm-hmm. gospels in preparation for the next couple of weeks. But there's another one, the wheat and the weed. The chaff and the wheat grow together. And until the harvest. And then those who cause evil or cause others to sin will be separated from the wheat. But the what was the point that I was going to make here? What was I just saying, Tony? It just went out of my head.
Yeah.
I hate when that happens. I guess the point is that we cannot. It's the church. I said, okay, as we look down through our history in the church, even to, let's say, from the time of Abraham, mm-hmm. or we could even go farther back, but Abraham, from the time of Abraham, when God begins to manifest himself and he prepares for the people of the covenant, the major covenant whereby he will bring together a nation, and from this nation the Messiah would come. As we look back through the whole of history, what do we do? Yes, of course, we see those who deviate, those who get in the way, those who are acting under the influence of evil. But our focus is, and this is unique to the Catholic Church, the saints. We marvel at how God, through history, raises up the saints to completely confound the wise of this world and to set things right.
Mm-hmm.
So we can choose where we're going to focus, and it's the same thing with the nation. We can choose where we're going to focus. If we're going to focus on all the bad things, all the negative things that have happened here or in other parts of the world where we've had a negative influence, yeah, then we would be justifiably disturbed. But to see the good, there's never, I don't know that there's been a nation ever like this nation that has done so much good for so many people. And for this reason, it is a nation built on the blood, sweat, and tears of people who have come from all over the world, mm-hmm. and every group has had to struggle. Whether it was the Irish, whether it was the Poles, whether it were the mm-hmm. Italians, every group, you know. So we're just out of time now. I didn't even get into Pope John Paul II, but we can come back to this tomorrow as well. But this is it's chilling, to be honest. It's really quite chilling. We must not cancel the culture, because this is a great culture with its imperfections, but, you know, just use common sense. Think about
these things. There's no common sense anymore.
All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We will be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
Can you see the winds have changed? meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.